Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word GRACECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Hello, hello, hello. We got a lot to get to today. Joe Biden came out yesterday, and he did what he does best. He made us all go, huh? Even the New York Post has a story out today basically saying, is anyone gonna address the fact that the president seems very, very confused? But here's where it gets very interesting, because crime right now is insane. And so Joe Biden came out yesterday to unveil his strategy to stop gun crime as summer violence spikes. And you should note that the first thing he mentioned was that this started before he got there. Of course. Hashtag orange man bad. But he starts talking about guns, and there's so many cuts that I want to play, because we're going to bring on Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks at 12:20. And then we're going to just open the phone lines and have everyone call in with both your opinions and any questions for Toby. And I want to make something, let me be clear, as Joe Biden would say. I know a lot about the mainstream media. I know a lot about celebrity culture. There's a few things that I consider myself an expert on. But I think sometimes the wisest thing you can do is know what you're not an expert on. Grace Curley is not an expert on guns. I'm just not. I don't own a gun. I don't have my license to carry. And I think saying that off the top is a great way to level with people and to be honest with the audience. Joe Biden is the opposite. He knows nothing about guns, and instead he is going to try to take yours away. He's going to lecture you about how it doesn't even matter, because your gun isn't going to do anything. I mean, the government has nukes. What are you going to do in a situation? Which, by the way, that's not really that's not really what the Second Amendment is about. It's not, you know, oh, you think you can take on the government with your gun? Well, you can't. I don't think that was the plan.
I'll take you out behind the gym.
Yeah, I'll show you. There's no point of you even having that, because I have the nuclear codes. It's like, all right, bro. You're bringing nukes to a gunfight? We just want, most law-abiding citizens just want to have a gun in their safe and, you know, be able to use it if they need to protect their house or their family or themselves. But we'll get into all of that. What we need to talk about is how Joe Biden knows about as much about guns as I do, and yet he goes on and talks about F-15s and nuclear codes and, you know, what we're going to do about ghost guns. And then the other part of this is, the really amazing part, is that it's one thing to not be an expert on something, but it's a whole new level of hypocrisy when your son has broken so many laws involving guns, when your son has dropped a gun in a trash can outside a supermarket across the street from a high school, and you're still going to lecture people who have not done anything like that, because they know if they did, they'd probably be arrested and charged. You're going to lecture those same people about how much more you know than them, and how much you can teach them, how stupid they are for thinking that their gun is important. Because it's not. Joe Biden is here to tell you he's the government, he's here to help, and he's here to take your guns away. And the part of this that makes me happy in a sense is that this never plays well for Democrats. This whole idea. And I'll tell you why. Because although I don't own a gun, I know a lot of people who do. And it's something people get very passionate about. Even if you get one, you know, if you get your license and you're like, oh, I just want to have my license. Oh, I just want to have one, you know, in the house. A lot of people end up being more passionate about it. It's a whole community. And it's a nice community. And I'm actually going to tell a story here before we bring on Toby. My fiance went for the first time to get his gun. And he said the people at the gun store were just the nicest, most normal, helpful people. Like just really good, salt of the earth people who said, oh, this is your first one? Oh, you should get this ammo. Oh, what kind are you going to get? It was a real community. And the Democrats don't understand that. Or maybe they do understand that and they just don't like the community. You know, they just hate the kind of people they think buy guns. They hate the NASCAR, the Mountain Dew drinkers, all that good stuff. But I will say they're barking up the wrong tree. There's a lot people will stand for. You know, but people can swallow this wokeness stuff for a while. But they're hitting on issues right now that are lightning rods. They're hitting on issues that are mobilizing the Republican base like we've never seen. It's one thing if, okay, the press isn't going to cover Hunter Biden. The press isn't going to be fair to Donald Trump. You know, that's kind of par for the course. But you start teaching people's kids about how inherently racist they are and how awful this country is. And then you start saying, and also we're going to take away your guns. Suddenly, people wake up. Suddenly, the silent, you know, majority in the country goes, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to take a step back. And before we bring on Toby at 12:20, which I'm very, very excited about, I want to play some of this. Because if you don't believe me, if you think, oh, Grace, you know, you're overplaying this. Joe Biden has a very good idea of what he's doing. Which, by the way, there's so many people, I'm convinced they're bots, but there's so many people on Twitter who feel that this country, the soul of this country is restored because this bumbling fool, and I'm sorry, that's the nicest way I can put it, is out there talking about F-15s. It really makes you feel like you're losing your mind, like we are in an alternate universe. So let's play these. I want to start with the one that got the most play in the media. This is Joe Biden yesterday talking, unveiling his new strategy to stop gun crime. Cut one, please, Jared.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
So he's mocking people. I thought that was the best way to describe this. And Business Insider writes, Biden mocked gun rights advocates who say they need assault weapons to fight the government. You need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. But then here's a question that Glenn Greenwald brought up, which I thought was really poignant. If it's so crazy that your guns could overthrow the government, why are we acting like a bunch of unarmed people who went into the Capitol were the biggest threat to our democracy since the Civil War? They didn't have nuclear weapons. I don't think any of them even had guns on them, but they didn't really confiscate many guns. So which one is it? You know, was that the worst day in the history of the world, or was it not a big deal because they didn't all have F-15s? Nothing here is adding up. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. He keeps going. Let's also play cut six, please.
We discussed disrupting illegal gun trafficking.
I'm sorry. Can I hear that one more time?
We discussed disrupting illegal gun trafficking.
Illegal gun trafficking. That is something that I think would be a great time for Biden to say, you know what? I'm going to bring out an expert on this. Hunter, come on out. Come to the stage.
So where's Hunter? Where the hell are you, Hunter?
And it gets worse. Cut nine.
The things we know about. Background checks for purchasing a firearm are important. Ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. No one needs to have a weapon that can fire over 30, 40, 50, even up to 100 rounds, unless you think the deer are wearing Kevlar vests or something.
I don't even know how to break that one down. I really don't. It's, you know, there's things to ad-lib on and there's things to not ad-lib on. And I have a feeling he's ad-libbing. Does he say Galapagos at all during this speech?
I mean, does he think this thing is like a phaser that has unlimited, like, how do you get 30, 40, 50, 100 rounds even into it?
Well, my whole thing is, and I know I addressed this a little bit earlier, but when I come on the show, I know there's people listening out there who own guns, and I know they're passionate about it. And I understand how frustrating it would be if I came on here and lectured people about something that I don't really know that much about. But imagine if I was in the Oval Office telling people, not only do I not know anything about it, I have cognitive decline that is apparent, and I'm going to start, you know, issuing legislation to actually take your guns away. You think people would be a little revved up about that? You think people would be like, maybe not? But we're all acting like this is normal. Let's play cut 15.
If you willfully falsify a record, if you willfully fail to cooperate with the tracing request or inspections, my message to you is this: we'll find you, and we will seek your license to sell guns. We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets.
And here's one more thing I just want to add in. So since I started working for Howie, my position on guns, I don't want to say it's changed. I'll use the Democrat term. It's evolved. It never was an issue I felt particularly passionate about, in the sense that I think it's complicated. I understand when horrible things happen that people want something to change, especially with mass shootings. But I will say that right now, what makes me feel best about the safety and security of the people I know, and just, you know, communities as a whole, is when responsible people go out and get their gun license and carry guns. It is. I don't think if you asked me 7 years ago, I would say that when I first started working for Howie, but I see a lot of people in my day-to-day life who, it makes me feel better knowing that if something bad happened, that they could handle it. And not everybody's made to do that. I'm not made to do it. I don't think that I'm a good person for that. But I like knowing other people have it. And so I think that's something that over time, you start to see these Democrats and you start to see their horrible policies and their horribly run cities and states. And you go, I don't know if we should be taking your advice on this. I don't know if, you know, Joe Biden and Beto O'Rourke and Kamala Harris really have a sense of what needs to happen here.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Let's stop the proliferation of ghost guns, as we announced back in April with the Attorney General.
Oh boy. It's hard to go against his argument when I cannot figure out what he's actually saying. And I'm not saying that to be fresh. I'm actually just serious. There's a lot of these where we write down what it sounds like he's saying, but that doesn't make sense. All right, so there's two images. One says, those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. If you think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. That's one tweet, okay? On the other tweet is the Washington Post headline, Biden responds to storming of Capitol. Our democracy is under unprecedented assault. And Drew Holden writes, you cannot believe both of these things to be true simultaneously, which Glenn Greenwald responds, precisely. You need F-15s and nukes to threaten the U.S. government. Shows how moronic is the depiction of a few hundred MAGA protesters as a threat to the stability of history's most militarized and armed government. Exactly. They want everything to be true all at once. Joining me now is Toby Leary from Keep Gunworks in Hyannis. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace. It's always good to talk to you.
Now, Toby, we already have almost full lines here to ask you questions, and we're going to save that for the longer segment after the break. I want to let people know it's 844-500-4242. Toby will take all your questions. But my initial question for you, Toby, is your thoughts on Biden's remarks yesterday. I have a feeling you must have been steaming mad.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing after a full year of letting criminals out of jail over COVID concerns, and then defunding police departments, and then letting rampant looting and burning of our cities go basically unchecked for the better part of a year. Now, with this increased violent crime that's happening on our streets, which we all, if you have a pulse, you know will be the result of what was happening over the past year, and now they want to blame gun owners on it. It's like, are you kidding me? But it's a perfect, you know, perfectly orchestrated move on their part to basically now have their sights leveled on gun owners, the law-abiding, responsible gun owners of America, and try to lay all the blame at our feet, which they've historically done. But now they've taken it to, you know, expert level 2.0, where Joe Biden has now solidified his spot as the most anti-gun administration in the history of our country.
And Toby, my
blood was a little boiling yesterday when I was hearing these comments.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing I noticed is he talks a lot about ghost guns. He talks a lot about F-15s. He talks a lot, you know, he throws out a lot of these words. And never do you hear gangs. Never do you hear criminals. Right. You don't hear about the people. You only hear about the guns.
Right. That's exactly. And, you know, a big part of his commentary yesterday was to come against these rogue gun dealers that are, you know, selling guns out the back door to all these criminals and whatnot. And this is just mind-boggling to me, because frankly, if there's gun dealers selling guns out the back door to criminals, lock them up. I'll be the first guy in line to say, lock them up. That's obviously criminal activity. But they still want to lay that on the feet of all gun dealers now, and he announced his...
Sorry, Toby, we'll be right back. It's Grace Curley.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, Toby, I'm sorry we had to cut you off there a little bit quick on the before this, but I want to get back to this conversation, and we're going to open up the phone lines for callers, 844-500-4242. Toby Leary is from Cape Gun Works in Hyannis, and he is an expert. He also, Toby, you have such a great knowledge about what people can and cannot do, and, you know, what your rights are. And do you get the sense that when Joe's talking about F-15s and nuclear codes, that he has a real understanding of what it takes to acquire a gun and then to be a lawful and law-abiding gun owner?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before on my radio show that, you know, when the federal government, you know, was established and had just kicked the tyrants home and sent them back across the pond, they didn't get around the table and go, all right, now we just got to make sure everyone can go ahead and put food on their plate and deer hunt in perpetuity. So we got to figure out something here to let people go hunt deer. No, they understood and recognized the need for the firearm, how it would play in, you know, arms in general, how it would play in keeping the tyrannical government in check. And for him to just tout that the government, you know, has F-15s and nuclear weapons, so therefore your little deer rifle isn't going to do you any good, is just ridiculous, number one, especially after a 20-year war with Afghan farmers who had AK-47s, like, that we didn't win. And then also the fact that he's also inferring that we're all on this, like, stretched trigger ready to pop off at any moment and, you know, want everyone descend on down on, you know, Beacon Hill and Capitol Hill at a moment's notice, which is nothing is further from the truth. In fact, I would argue that we have, you know, 100 million gun owners in this country, which is roughly 30% of the population. I would say that number is historically low compared to 50 or 100 years ago. I bet it was closer to 90% of Americans owned guns back then. And, you know, America was always a historically safe place to go about your business because arms, you know, are a sign of respect. You know your neighbor's got them, you got them, and everybody kind of plays by the rules, and that's the way it works. But I reject the notion that the mere presence of gun causes an increase in crime. And that's what they allude to every time they open their mouth.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Toby, because there's a lot of talk about this crime spike and how, you know, crime always spikes in the summertime and how, you know, it was spiking before he got there. But what a lot of people point out on the right is that there seems to be, when you talk about defunding the police and the burning and the looting, no one seems to be held accountable for any of this violence. And so you'd almost think that if we wanted to really crack down on crime, we would crack down on the criminals and not just talk about all these ideas about community organizing and, you know, and really punishing gun store dealers.
Right. That you know, and we had a tragedy here a few years ago with the shooting of Officer Gannon in Yarmouth, and it was a felon who had 30 prior gun charges on his record. And under Massachusetts law, we have a mandatory one-year minimum. So he should have been in jail serving his 30-year mandatory minimum, you know, but instead he pleads out or gets out on, you know, 4 or 5 years to lesser charges or whatever, and he's back in the saddle doing crime, and we have a dead officer on our hands as a result. And, you know, so how is that the responsible gun owner's fault?
Right.
That a career criminal goes out and kills people? It's not. It's the criminal's fault. And it's actually, you want to boil it right down, it's the politician's fault, or the, you know, who want to restrict our police agencies from doing the good work of keeping people safe by locking up felons and criminals. And, you know, if you want to go soft on those policies, then I'm sorry, but the blood is on your hands and the blame is at your feet, not on the guys who are trying to protect themselves and you know, do business and, you know, provide a service to the great Americans in this country. So, you know, I reject that whole notion that, you know, it's our fault in any way, shape, or form. No, it's your fault because you want to restrict those who need the guns the most, and also you want to go soft on crime. So
now, Toby is from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. He's going to take your questions, comments, 844-500-4242. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're next with Grace and Toby. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Grace. Toby, Uncle Joe's gun policy is mind-boggling, to be sure, and it's even more. The way he articulates it is even more confusing. But does anyone really believe that these are his original thoughts? He's getting this legislation from someone, and then he delivers it to us in this way that we can't understand. That's the frightening thing to me, at least, that he's not cognitively stable enough to create this. He has these beliefs, I'm sure, but I really believe that he's getting fed this, and it's his job to try to articulate it to us. And then,
at the end of the day, he's the hand that holds the pen, but he's driving the bus as his, you know, maybe you're right, there's probably someone in the back pulling the strings, but his administration is driving the bus, so Congress will come up with legislation that he is going to have pen in hand to sign as soon as it's ready. And, you know, even look at his nomination of David Chipman, a, you know, anti-gunner who believes that all semi-automatic guns with detachable magazines should be not able to be possessed by civilians. So that's another direct outflow of this administration. So whether he's the puppet or the guy with the original thought, I don't know, but historically, look at what he did in 94 with the assault weapons ban, and you know, his rhetoric has always been, you don't need a 30 rounds, you don't need a AR-15, you know, just buy a shotgun, man, just
Yeah, fire two blasts. And Toby, I'm glad you brought that up because he was, you know, before he was our president, he was vice president for Barack Obama, who at one point said something as absurd as it's easy to go out and get a gun. It's easier to do that than it is to get a book. So this kind of rhetoric, this kind of hyperbolic, nonsensical talk is nothing new for these Democrats. In fact, I actually want to play you one cut here, Toby. This is how bad it is to this last caller's point. Let's play cut 14.
It means confirming my outstanding nominee to lead the AFT. Excuse me, the ATF.
Do you think he's an outstanding nominee? Obviously, you don't.
I think he is the most divisive nominee in the history of anyone being nominated. And even, I believe it was the Maine senator has said she won't support him. And I know, like, today's committee hearing went 11 to 11. It went right down party lines. But he'll get the full Senate vote, and it is probably going to go 50-50. Who knows?
Yeah, Susan Collins said that she wouldn't support him. And he also has a lot of his own problems. We'll get into that later when we do the poll question. He's had some controversial remarks back in the day. Dave, you're next with Toby and Grace. What's your question for Toby, Dave?
Hello. Toby, I just thought I had my question, but then I heard you say something. But I understand, according to the NRA, we have 100 million gun owners, but 400 million guns outstanding. So I think that tells it all.
Right. Yeah, and I would say, you know, 50 million of them are actually active gun owners, where they shoot and buy and, you know, go training and whatnot. And they're what we call active, you know, gun owners.
I have another question I really wanted to ask you is, Sig Sauer is opening up at a plant in upstate New York to make ammunition. But beyond that, right now, we are in an enormous ammunition shortage. I'm a hand loader and a shooter up here in Vermont. And fortunately, I got components a couple of years ago that last me a long time. But you can't get any, you can't even get components or definitely ammunition's out. Any caliber.
It's very difficult right now. And I think the original panic buy is over, which is good. So that should stabilize a little bit. And we are starting to see more product. And we even got some primers and powder, but it didn't last long. But stuff is starting, I would say, to free up a little bit, and hopefully prices will come down soon as well. So that would be a win for everybody. But it has been very difficult. And you got to figure there's 10 million new gun owners in the last year. If every one of them buys one box of ammunition, that's whatever, 50 million rounds. Just doing some fast math here. But so that you can see how quick it goes, you know what I mean? And then you have the people who shoot every week and compete and everything else, and people like yourself who hand load. And by the way, Vermont was the original constitutional carry state. It was a constitutional carry state when they were the only one in America. Now we're up to 22 states. So, you know, unfortunately, the gun control bug has bit Vermont a little bit in the last few years, but hopefully they'll win their rights back. So,
Toby, thank you for answering that. And Dave, thanks for calling in. Let's take Tom before we go to break, and we'll take a couple more on the other side. Tom, you're next with Toby and Grace. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Toby. Unfortunately, in our state, as you probably well know, they never enforced the Bartley-Fox law that was passed in 1976, of where if you have a handgun on your person and you're not licensed to own it, and you're regardless of what you do, you're supposed to get a mandatory 1 year in prison. Never enforced. By the way, I got a non-resident concealed carry in Massachusetts last year. I switched to West Virginia because I own property there, which allows you to legally carry in well over, I think, 33 states in this country. And it's sad. Our state, which has very good laws with regards to gun training, doesn't reciprocate with anybody. And I would love to see that changed.
Yeah, me too. I think they're very smug about that we do not reciprocate or recognize anyone else's license, and it's ridiculous, frankly. But yeah, 33 states have reciprocity with each other. So whether you get the Utah non-resident, or like you did a West Virginia or a Florida non-resident, there's little nuances between which recognizes which, but usually it's right around 30 So you can always do a class for one of those non-resident licenses. And the unfortunate thing for the mass non-resident license that you have, believe it or not, you are allowed to carry a gun concealed in Massachusetts, but you're not able to go to a local gun store and buy a box of ammo in Massachusetts with that non-resident license to carry. So it's just nonsensical all the way around, but there you have it. Welcome to Massachusetts.
Tom, thank you for the call. Toby, if you could hold on with us for a little bit longer, we're going to have more calls on the other side. 844-500-4242. Like I said, Socrates once said something, you know, he said, the wisest man is the man who knows he knows nothing. And when it comes to guns, I'm not the wisest, but I have a good team around me who can help. And Toby is an incredible expert. He's from Keep Gun Works. He knows any of your questions, whether it's about the laws, whether it's about Joe Biden, whether it's about ammo or guns. He's your guy. Call in now, 844-500-4242. We'll have him until 1 o'clock. Then we have an expert coming up later to talk a little bit about Free Britney. Yeah, we hit it all on this show. We're not afraid of anything. You know, not a lot of shows could segue from guns to Britney, but we're going to try. Eden Pure has done it again, this time with the BioSpeed Clean cordless vac that costs a fraction of what the other well-known brands charge. What do I mean by a fraction? I mean, you're going to save about $200. This powerful vac has 8,000 kPa suction to suck up pet hair or just any of your everyday messes. Also, it weighs only 6 pounds and has no cord, which will cut your cleaning time in half. I don't think people even realize how much they dread picking up their vacuum when it's a heavy one with the cords and the wires. It can make you just not, you say to yourself, I'm going to vacuum this rug. And then you think about taking it out of the closet and you back off. You go, you know what? No, I'll wait till tomorrow. Not with this vacuum. It's so light. Never worry again about getting tangled up and tripping over cords. You know, I know Taylor just bought a vacuum, very expensive. He's been walking around under a cloud of regret because he knows he could have saved $200 with the BioSpeed Clean. It comes with 5 different attachments to easily clean every part of your home and car. It runs on a 35-minute battery and comes with a wall mount, so it won't even take up floor space in your closet. And it comes apart to become a handheld device, too, so you can use it on the stairs or on your couch to clean the cushions, whatever you need to do. And to make sure the BioSpeed Clean Vac traps everything, they've developed a powerful filter system so dust isn't being recycled into the air as you vacuum. Stop lugging around that old dinosaur vac and get the BioSpeed Clean today at half the price of other brands at EdenPure.com. You'll save another $20 off plus get free shipping with code word GRACECLEAN. That's EdenPure.com. Click on the radio banner, then click my name and use code word GRACECLEAN at checkout. 844-500-4242. We have one more segment with Toby Leary. So if you have a gun question, now is the time. He can answer any of your questions. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com or call them today at 800-521-0111. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the biggest racist? Sheldon Whitehouse, Justin Trudeau, Ralph Northam, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, or ATF nominee David Chipman?
I'm going to say Joe Biden.
Joe Biden running away with it at 58%.
All right. Now we have Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis here. He is our gun expert and he's taking your calls. Let's go to Steve. You're next with Toby and Grace. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, hey, Toby. I like your videos. You do a great job out there, and you've got a great amount of information that's very helpful. I have a Commonwealth of Massachusetts non-resident Class A large capacity temporary license to carry firearms. And what does large capacity mean? Does that mean I can bring larger than 10-round magazines loaded in my firearm into the state of Massachusetts?
Oh, that's a very good question, Steve. And it's a little bit of a loaded question too, but no, it's very funny. We get this question all the time because a lot of people who just don't know any better, when we tell them we have a 10-round magazine limit here in Massachusetts, they're like, "Oh no, no, no! I got a Class A license to carry. I'm a large capacity." Yeah, but we have a ban on large capacity weapons unless the magazine was made prior to September 13th, 1994, when the original federal assault weapons ban was enacted by the, you know, the Clinton administration assault weapons ban. So the magazine has to predate that date in order for a civilian to be able to possess one in Massachusetts with the license that you have or the, you know, license to carry. They've done away with the Class A and Class B licenses here in Mass. It's just a license to carry now. But and law enforcement is exempt from the ban on high capacity magazines. So if you're law enforcement, you can carry a high capacity year. As the AG puts it, your rights are still there. So for everyone else, our rights have been rescinded when it comes to high capacity magazines. So it has to predate that date. And then, but if you have a pre-ban magazine, you can carry it in this state. So, but you can't go down to New Hampshire, grab a brand new high capacity mag and come back to Massachusetts and carry it. You'd be in violation of that law if you did.
Now, Toby, Steve, thank you for the call. Toby, one last thing. We have a couple seconds left here. What would you say to people who listen to what Joe Biden says and they think, well, that all makes sense. You know, we're not going to be able to stand up against the government anyway. So why bother? Let's take everybody's guns away. What would your pitch be to getting those people to understand the importance of, you know, your right to bear arms?
I mean, it's the logic of it doesn't apply to anything else in society. So if you have drunk drivers, you know, out there driving around and killing people with their automobile, you don't then make it harder for the responsible driver to get a car.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, thank you so much for being with us. We'll do this more often, guys. We got a lot coming up on the other side, so don't go anywhere. Woke or joke in the 1 o'clock. It's Grace Curley Show.